Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Good morrow to all. What's so funny about that?
Good morrow to all? You've never said that.
Oh.
So that's why it's funny to me.
Hey, you know, I like to change it up sometimes, keep you guessing. Keep the relationship fresh, you know?
Wow, sure, yeah.
Keep it fresh.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good. Yep.
You know, I started wearing a brighter colored hoodie, you know, just to change things up.
Wow.
Yep.
That is really special.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's the extent of my freshening up. What a week it's been.
What a week. What
update on the car. It's still not fixed, everybody.
Correct. Which is why
the tire
today
remains
Matt
on
had
there.
To drive all over Los Angeles.
Literally. I encircled Los Angeles. I drove essentially from God. I drove, if anyone lives in Los Angeles and listens to this podcast, I drove essentially from the middle of Hollywood to Westwood to Griffith Park, back to Westwood, and then back to the middle of Hollywood, which literally is like the 10, the 405, the 101.
It's the freeway's greatest hits.
It's a big circle. It's a big circle.
Yep.
Giant circle. Mm-hmm. That's because Dory had a tennis match.
That's true.
We're currently down to one car because we only have, you know, 7 working tires. So we're down to
and
one
Henry
car.
And Henry had a hike thing.
Henry had to go hike in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So
very muddy.
Yeah. He talked about the mud. He talked about making a stick bridge. He seemed to have a great time. He even told me about it. You know, he doesn't often tell you about anything.
That's true. That's true. He did share detail, actual details.
Mm-hmm. Unprompted.
Wow.
You know?
Maybe it was the best day of his life.
Maybe. So Dory played tennis. Got her there for 9:45. Then had to get Henry up to Griffith Park for 10:45.
What time did you guys get to Griffith
Park? Well, we were going
to
get there too early, so I made him go to Harbor Freight with me.
Oh, I see.
We went into Harbor Freight, and I was like about ready to buy a welder.
Oh boy.
A MIG welder. And I was like, I think I need a TIG welder. And I was like, I picked up an apron, a face shield.
Oh my
and
God.
Then I was holding some flux. And I was like, I don't know how to weld anything. So I put everything back. And I said to Henry,
wow.
I'm gonna figure this out before I buy anything.
I'm gonna marinate on this.
I'm gonna learn how to weld before
Oh my God.
I purchase a welder. I assume it's a lot like soldering, you know? Which I do know how to do.
I don't know that I could like tell you the difference between welding and soldering.
It's just different metal, I guess.
Oh, I see.
And the fact that neither of us can explain it is why I need to read more and understand more about what I would be actually doing.
I see. Okay.
If any of you out there are actual welders or like maybe work with wrought iron or something, I don't know. congratulations. That's a really nice skill to have. I don't have that skill. So then we left Harbor Freight and went to Griffith Park. And then he told me no parents were allowed.
But I had already told you that.
I know, but he reiterated that.
Oh, he did. I think he was like very like that. It made him feel very like independent and big. You know what I mean? That
sure.
You wouldn't be
I don't
accompanying
know.
Him. He. But by the way, it wasn't just like children sent out on a hike alone. It was supervised by teachers from our preschool.
Two of his teachers from preschool.
Yeah.
And yeah, then it was like just like there's like three dads sat down at the park at the benches that we left the kids at, and then everybody else, all the other moms, like went up to the cafe.
Oh, interesting.
And one of them was like, "Do you need coffee?" He's like, "No." So I stayed there. So and I talked to
you had some quality dad time.
Yeah, I talked to hockey dad.
Yep.
And wine and truffle dad.
Oh, okay.
Their names escape me currently. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had a good time. Good talk.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Good yapping, and we got through the whole hour, and then the kids returned, and Henry wanted to leave. I had the best parking spot by far.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you take a picture for my mom?
Oh, I should have. Yeah, I should have taken a picture for everybody. Everybody had to walk by our car. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of it.
Wow.
It was a madhouse at Griffith Park.
I can only imagine. I was like, oh God. I did not. I mean, the whole rigmarole was like.
Because the original hiking destination
would have been much
rained out.
The whole reason we even came up with this sort of harebrained scheme is because
no
one
came up with it. Dory came up with it.
No, I gave you several.
There's
options.
There's no we.
I gave you options.
You did?
Yes.
What
I said
were they?
Here are the options as I see them.
Oh, let's see. Let's hear it. Oh, you did. Yeah, you numbered them, but I was two of them made literally no sense.
Well, one of them was I would cancel my tennis match.
Yes, which I was like, that's ridiculous.
One of them was I would Uber, which
because what
been
kind
like
of a guy would I be? You know,
$100.
I don't think it would have been today because it was like pretty quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. It only took us 20 minutes to get home.
Yeah.
Well, what I was gonna say was, what was I gonna say? Oh yes. Well, just you know, I was driving by Griffith Park yesterday, and there was so much traffic, which I told you about. And when I knew you were going today, I was like, oh God, there's probably going to be so much traffic.
And there was, but it wasn't, you know, I was
but
like,
I was concerned about the parking. I was
like, here's the deal. This is what we got to do. We're going to do it now. Let's go.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was committed to delivering my child to his parentless hike.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, he's better for it.
He was really like more excited about it than I thought he would be.
Yeah, he seemed into it. He really did.
And then I asked him if any of his friends were there. He was like, "Yeah," and I asked who, and he like the first four people he listed are people I've like never heard him talk about.
Correct. I was also confused by that. It was like at some point I thought he started making up names. Like, who?
No, they're all people. They're all girls in his class who like I never see. I like one of them he's played with, but like the other ones I never heard him talk about. They're never in pictures together. Like I don't know. Maybe they have some secret relationship that I'm not.
Maybe they're
with.
Friends in nature. You know.
Maybe. Well, and then once he finished listing all these people that I didn't think were his friends, he finally got to a couple people who are his, like, who I think of as his actual friends. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Then we had to remind him of the one person who he said was his only friend.
Yes. Was she there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, her too.
Which is why.
But in the past, like, in the past, when I've asked him, like, who your friends are in the class, he's been like, just this one girl. Which is like not true, but it was just the way he said it that one time was like hilarious. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Totally.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Well, it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, I keep forgetting that. Honest to God, I keep forgetting that.
Didn't know.
I didn't know. I went to look for the starting times to figure out where I could watch the fourth round / third round of the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Did our boy win?
It's still going on right now.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's some real counter programming.
I think it's gonna go probably, well, I mean, obviously it goes till sundown, but like right now, Charlie Hoffman's in the lead.
Who?
Charlie Hoffman. He won 8 years ago.
Wow.
He's 47.
Oh, I like this already.
You know,
I wanted our guy to win, but I like
his wife and his two daughters are there. The two daughters are, you know, tweens, so they look bored.
Right.
You know? But they have to be there because dad's going to win his first tournament in 8 years. So.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Let's go make a show of it. But then, like, right as we were coming on to record, he shanked one into a sand trap. So.
Oh.
But he had a three-stroke lead. We'll see where it ends up.
Wow. Hey, listen. I like anything where someone in their mid to late 40s is doing something better than people 20 years younger than them.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Scottie Scheffler's 27, so.
Wow. It's a there baby. You go. Baby Scheffler, they should call him.
Anyway. I guess the Super Bowl is today. I do know who's playing because I saw that today. And I was like, okay. Two red teams are playing.
Oh, boy. Two red teams are playing.
I used to watch football all the time.
I know.
And I just really, after Brady left the Patriots, I just sort of like, why? Like, why am I, why am I investing myself into this?
Right.
When they have no emotional attachment to any of it.
Yeah, I hear that.
So I was like, peace out, football.
I meanwhile have reached sort of like peak Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce saturation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am like, I can't. It's so much. It's just so much all the time. You know,
today's Team Jesus versus Team Soros, you know?
Yeah,
I'm
Matt
really
sent
excited
me this,
about it.
Matt sent me this meme, and I had to explain that like there's like a lot of crazy right wing memes about Taylor and Travis, that they're this like psyop.
What's great about it is what's so threatening to them is that she would inform people that they should vote.
Yes. Totally.
Oh, you can't. No, don't you dare tell people they can vote.
You know, that reminds me, the teachers subreddit keeps like coming up in my feed. Like I don't subscribe to it, but you know, when you get like recommended subreddit and like, boy, that's a depressing subreddit.
Oh God. Is it just a lot of people having to pay for their own supplies?
No, it's a lot of people being like, we're living in the idiocracy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, we are.
Yes.
We are.
And it's like, oh boy, we're doomed.
It's real.
Yes, it's real.
Yeah, there's no real coming back from that.
No, I don't think
particularly
so.
Particularly not, you know, it's probably going to be a two-generation struggle if we were to even try to pivot.
But like so many people are invested in us not pivoting that I don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I just feel like it's impossible.
I mean, this has taken a very sad turn.
Sorry, I've been
this
like,
conversation. Really, what got us here? The Super Bowl.
Lately.
The stupid Super Bowl got us here.
The stupid bowl, more like.
Yeah, I don't even care. I don't even care if Jesus or George Soros win. I'm just here to enjoy middle-aged people hitting a golf ball around, you know?
Sure.
That's my speed. I'm in my 40s, you know?
You are in your 40s.
This is 40, everybody.
This is 40.
Yep, unemployed. Just asking my wife how to write a cover letter. It's really a great time to be alive. Anyway. What else?
We went to a fun party last night.
We did go to a fun party. Where I was somehow the youngest. So
yeah,
big ups to me. Yeah. No, our friend Gretchen had a birthday party, and she
who listens. Shout out to Gretchen.
But instead of like, she had been at my 40th surprise party where it was trivia based.
That's true.
So she was like, oh, I like this whole gaming idea. And then she turned it on its head and made it even better by making it match game.
It was very fun.
So also, like, to have enough people to have three panels of match game and three sets of contestants.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. It was really great.
It was terrific. It was very fun.
Her friend's house, they have a house that is, it's if you're into mid-century modern, it's perfect. It's literally perfect.
It's yeah.
I've never seen a better example of mid-century modern that, I mean, even like when I was walking through the sets of For All Mankind and it was like 1968, I was like, these sets are okay, but their house is better.
Are her friends like set designers? Like,
I don't know. I was going to get to the bottom of that, but we played match game for so long.
Well, because the last round,
the game was over.
We had to go five ties, and they refused to let it end in a tie. So,
well, I mean, look, I'm not gonna say what I saw, but
I know I saw it too. I saw it
was a little questionable. We should still be there. But we should still be there.
We had to come home and relieve the babysitter.
I know.
So.
I know. But yeah, it was super fun. And I'm jealous of everything. Match game.
Excuse me.
The idea. The home. Having multiple friends. I'm jealous of all of these things. Way to go, Gretchen.
You could have multiple friends if you wanted to.
Sure could. Next topic.
Next topic is we have to take a break.
All right, let's take a break. If you don't want to hear a break, head over to patreon.com/excellentadventure and join the Patreon. Get yourself some ad-free episodes.
Yeah, we're doing ad-free apps at the $10 level now.
Yeah.
So
she's like, you know, let's put that paywall up, make it as high as possible. That's what she said. And I said, I don't have a job. Go for it. I was just gonna write something down. Who's this? Heimer Candelaro. Okay, I'm gonna write down the time codes for me for editing purposes on the back of Heimer Candelaro's baseball card.
Okay.
Or Heimer. Anyway, we are gonna take a break. We'll be right back. Everyone else, see you later, Patreon people. Hi.
We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Hello. I just want to remind everyone that you can email us at dorianmatt@gmail.com, mattanddory@gmail.com. You can also call us at 413-461-BABY. Someone texted us this week and said that we should spell out the number because a lot of phone pad like don't have the letters anymore.
That's true.
So our number is 413-461-2229.
413-461-2229. Great.
We're also on Venmo at Dory. And you can follow Matt's eBay adventures at Lefty Fender Fan.
Sure. It's just like the stuff I'm just selling like such weird things now. It's pretty wild.
What are you selling now? Can you give us
it's all in the genres of things that I
that you sell.
Like, but like just the idea of like getting rid of some of the grips, the golf grips that I have, like apparently anything with Scotty Cameron on it is like
gold.
Sells so quick. I'm like, I found one on the floor in my office, a Scotty Cameron grip, and then I sold it for $80.
Now, when stuff sells really fast like that, do you think, oh, I should have asked for more, or are you just
no,
like, oh, God,
I think it's out of my life.
Good. That's a good attitude.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I like that. Good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Should we get to some of these emails?
Yeah.
Okay, Emily, who wrote in last week, and said something about, like, she wanted to know if they should try to have a sex baby or do IVF again. And she said something about, like, the embryos that had been made when she was younger.
Right.
Okay, so here she has a follow-up. Thank you for reading my email today.
Insulting old people with babies. Yes. Right.
Thank you for offering what you would do, even though I didn't specifically ask for that. I was definitely hoping you'd wait.
How dare you not ask for that? That's what you're getting anytime you write into this podcast.
It's weird how much I value yours and Matt's opinions. Anyway, as an eternal people pleaser, I really wanted to clarify that I was definitely not implying that younger embryos produce better kids, and I did not mean to offend.
This is real classic PR speak.
The extraordinary benefits were in reference to adverse pregnancy outcomes becoming more likely linearly with age, primarily miscarriage and stillbirth, but also the whole other cocktail of things that can go wrong.
I pretty much assume
once you make it to birth, every age of embryo is on a level playing field. Again, thanks for reading and looking forward to hearing from other eggheads.
I mean, I don't think that's about the ingredients. I think it's about the oven once you get to those later stage problems.
No, that's not true.
Is it not?
It's not true.
I know our oven is pretty old, and it has a hard time maintaining temperature.
Thanks for weighing in, Dr. Myra.
I'm not a doctor. I'm obviously talking literally about stoves right now. Yeah, stoves get older, and they don't keep heat the same way.
I do know how that happens.
Or you could have it, like, on... Mm-hmm. And the burners don't ignite the flame, so you're just pouring gas into your home.
Yeah, like
we have a great stove.
We have a great house that's been really well maintained.
And you know what? I love it because the rent just went up, so it's even better than it used to be.
It's really top-notch.
It's 8.8% better, I think,
to be exact.
Yeah, in case anyone's wondering.
Oh gosh,
which is the maximum allowable raising of the rent that he could do. So. Mm-hmm.
It's really everything's everything's going great over here.
Everything is going terribly over here. We need jobs. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
If anyone out there has recently won the lottery, could you tell me how to also do that? Thank you. I'm not asking you for your money, just on how to win the lottery. Thank you.
Just a strategy. Okay. Next email. To the listener not getting blastocyst, first of all, I'm so, so sorry. I've been there and is the hardest, most frustrating thing ever. I don't know if my story will help, but I thought I'd share it since I was also in that club. Basically, they said we can condense. They had unexplained infertility. They were in their early 30s. They did 6 rounds of IUI at a clinic, chemical pregnancies. Then they moved on to IVF. They got lots of embryos, nothing made to blastocyst. Then IVF2, they were going for quality over quantity. No blastocysts again, only 8 eggs. First transfer was a 3rd chemical pregnancy. 2nd transfer didn't take at all. By that point, we had consulted with our local CCRM clinic and had decided to move on from the first clinic. The amazing CCRM doctor thought that the first place was not stimming me correctly. His exact words were, "I've seen 1,000 protocols and I've never seen this." He thought they were starving my eggs by not using Gonal F and Menopur simultaneously and by having me cut one of them back so dramatically because my estrogen always rose so quickly. So CCRM prioritized a slower rise and my doctor was so diligent, seeing me daily personally to make sure he was getting the dosage right. We ended up with 14 eggs, 5 blastocysts, And 4 out of our 5 blasts were chromosomally normal. Our first transfer took, as did our second. And now I think we are done. Thrilled with our 2 little boys. Shout out to gender blind transfers. Ultimately, there were a number of changes that could have contributed to the difference, some of which pertain to my own health status too. So it's hard to say what made the biggest difference in the end. But all this to say, is there another clinic or doctor who can look at your past results? I never would have guessed that I was being stimmed incorrectly. Wishing you much luck. Anonymous in Los Angeles. 0 hot dogs so far this year. 2 big TVs, 1 husband, and 2 science babies.
That anonymous person in Los Angeles, they understand what my driving was like today.
Oh, yeah, they get it.
All over, as my mother would say, all over God's creation. You know, I'm not driving all over God's creation just so you could go play tennis.
Except you did.
Well, I'm being my mom right now.
I know. But I'm saying you did, and I was very appreciative of it.
I love you and want you to have good times, you know? If I can't provide them by, you know, being a meaningful co-partner in this relationship and bringing in my fair share of money, then at least I can drive you to fucking tennis.
Wow, that's a worthy trade-off.
You know? What's the literal least I can do? Drive you to tennis in a car we can't afford.
Oh, boy. Like I said, things are great here. Okay. Anonymous, thank you for this. I think it is a good reminder. Like, sometimes, you know, sometimes people think, oh, there's no point in getting a second opinion. But, like, sometimes there is a point in getting a second opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Second opinions. Yeah.
Second opinions can be great. So maybe get a second opinion. That's all I'm saying. All right. Matt, do you want to read
I like doctors that are like, fucking, I don't know what the fuck you're doing over there.
I like doctors that are like, I don't know what the fuck this person did.
I like doctors that are like, fucking, hold my beer.
Well, especially
every day,
especially when they're proven right. You know what I mean? Like, especially when it's like, oh yeah, like I know what I'm doing. And this other doctor did not.
As George Carlin said, somewhere in the world is the worst doctor and they have an appointment tomorrow morning.
That's very funny and very true. Wow.
Let me get back to the emails here by reading this wonderful email from someone who's been listening since 2016. Longtime listener since 2016, first time emailer. Thank you for helping me get through the IVF process and creating community to share questions, thoughts, rage about infertility. This email is long. Feel free to edit as you see fit if you read it on the pod. Well, guess what? We're reading it on the pod. I'm writing after Emily's email in the last episode. Like Emily, I had
anovulatory.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
PCOS. And didn't regularly have periods my entire life, maybe 3 times a year, unless I was on birth control. If I stopped it, my cycles would stretch out and return at infrequent and unpredictable times. When trying our first ovulation test strips, it would show that I maybe tried to ovulate occasionally, but basal what?
Basal body temperatures.
What's basal body temperature?
Basal body temperature is
it's like your base body temperature.
It's a it's a body temperature reading. Like when you're ovulating, your body temperature changes, and
tell
so
me about it.
That can be used as an indicator of whether or not you're ovulating.
Of all the emails you have me read, it's the one where I understand a third of the words.
Well, that's on you.
Unsurprisingly, we ended up needing medical assistance to get my ovaries working again. The doctor diagnosed me with a less common form of PCOS, which was not associated with high testosterone, insulin resistance, or elevated weight. My symptoms were polycystic ovaries, infrequent periods, and
anovulation.
After 3 failed IUIs, we did 1 egg retrieval and were fortunate enough to get a handful of good embryos for the freezer. First transfer resulted in my son in 2018. My period didn't start again until he was completely weaned from the last morning feed at around 20 months old. As before, my period came back with an irregular and infrequent fashion. Fast forward to the end of 2020, we transferred another embryo, resulted in my daughter, born August 2021. Much to my surprise, the period returned around 12 months old. And still, I was still breastfeeding a few times a day. It was strikingly different from my periods over the previous 20 plus years. No pre-period spotting, much less cramping or pain, a lot more fresh blood, more days of bleeding, etc. I've now had 13 cycles in a row, 26 to 30 days in length, regularly, regularity, which has never happened in my life without birth control. Also, physical symptoms during my cycle I've never experienced before. Tender breasts, pain in my ovaries around the time I expect I'm ovulating, the egg white cervical mucus people talked about. This is really, I'm really doing a great job with this email. Talked about looking for while trying to conceive, and she knows what's in every email. So when she says, man, read this one, she knows what's in it. Could it be that I'm now fertile? Didn't have it in my first pregnancy with my son. Did having a girl somehow fix my ovulatory body? Of course, we decided we're done having kids. My husband got a vasectomy last year, so I haven't seen a fertility doc since the birth of my daughter, but my OB doesn't seem very interested or surprised the fact that I'm now having regular cycles first time in my 30s, but I'm really curious if others have had the same experience and if there's something to the girl versus boy pregnancy outcomes. No, come on. I would love to hear some anecdata, or if anyone listening does research on PCOS symptoms resolving after pregnancy. I'm all ears. Note that I haven't received an ultrasound, so I don't know if my ovaries are still polycystic, but all other signs point to normal fertility status conveniently after I'm done trying to get pregnant. Thanks. Good luck with the job search. Thank you. We need it. Anonymous in Kentucky. One partner, two science babies, 3,000 square feet, 140-inch TV, maybe a hot dog in 2024.
Okay. Matt, you did great with that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I invite anyone who has any information here to
look, just me as a human being.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything to the what gender
to the girl
pregnancy is.
Yeah. I mean,
as far as I know, I don't know. Look. You know who's least qualified to answer this question? Me.
That's true. That's true. But I would like to hear what others have to say about this. All right.
Okay. Are we waiting for them to answer right now?
Yes. We're going to wait. Okay. We're going to just sit here and wait for the emails to
come in. Or are we
going to
take another break?
We are going to take another break.
Okay. Let's take that break. We'll be right back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, we're back.
What?
Yep.
We didn't even talk to the Patreon people in isolation, like we usually do. Mm. All right, well, we'll get you guys next time.
All right. So last week we heard from someone who was thinking about moving from New York to LA, and their family is all in New York. And I was very much like, I'm not telling you not to do it, but like, here's what you lose when you move across the country from your family. And Amelia had some thoughts about that. So I'm going to read her email. I made a similar choice, and I'm happy to share my experience in case it's useful. I grew up in California, but left at age 18 for college. And now I live in New York City with my husband and three kids. I was delighted to leave California. I hated the sameness of the weather and the constant droughts and was just ready for a change. Now I've been in New York City for 20 years, but my parents and siblings all live in California while my in-laws live in the Midwest. So my husband and I have been raising our family all these years with no family nearby. Here are my three main reflections. While it is absolutely inconvenient not to have family nearby, and it certainly has made childcare a zillion times more expensive, this same inconvenience has had the truly wonderful consequences of forcing us to grow a village of friends here that we never, ever would have made otherwise. I've loved our babysitters, and I'm still in touch, even with those who moved away, And I find that people do step up when you need them. For example, we recently had a death in the family, and my husband's colleague, who is also now a close friend, took all three of the kids for the whole day so my husband and I could attend the funeral and wake. And years ago, back when we had just two young kids, I ran the New York City Marathon for the first time, and a lady from our daughter's daycare volunteered to take both my kids for the entire Sunday at no charge so my husband could spend the day cheering me on. And when I was giving birth to my third kid, a friend spent the night at my place with my two other kids so my husband could be at the hospital with me. Not to mention, there's all the carpooling we're doing now to kids after school sports, which has forced me to meet all the other families since I can't just ask my parents to drive my kids to practice. And now when I'm walking around my neighborhood, I run into these same parents often, and we always say hi, and it feels like community. The worst part for me is that my kids don't know my parents well, and my parents don't know them well either. I hadn't anticipated this consequence, though. In retrospect, it should have been obvious, and it does sting. My parents see my kids once or twice a year, and the infrequency is just going to get worse as my parents age and find it increasingly difficult to travel. My kids and my parents seem to have a nice time during the visits, but for sure they're all sort of re-meeting each other and adjusting each time. Meanwhile, my parents live near my sister's kids and see them multiple times a week. My parents are constantly telling me stories of how my niece did this cute thing or my nephew is so clever about X, and on and on. Each time my mom tells me the latest anecdote or I hear how my niece and nephews went running up to hug them when they picked them up from school, I feel jealousy. It's a level of enthusiasm my kids simply don't feel about my parents since they don't know them well. For me, this is the biggest trade-off of moving away. I was close with my grandparents. Those memories are very precious to me. Now we have learned that talking on the phone with grandparents is a poor substitute for spending time with them. Technology can't replace the closeness that comes with regular in-person contact. Despite the above, I don't regret my choice to live in NYC. I love it here. I think if you don't like where you're living, it's difficult to be happy. So I'd say if being in NYC is something that is a constant irritant for this listener and her family, they should go to a place they love. You can't get around the fact that each choice has its pros and cons, but who can endure the constant misery of disliking where you live? I hope this helps, and best of luck to them. Amelia. P.S. My stats. Two parents, three kids, one cat, living in a 1,600 square foot apartment in New York City with one TV, size unknown, but it seems big to me, and no hot dogs because I'm a vegetarian.
This made me really jealous of her escaping California's weather. I don't like California, but I live here. Dory likes it now.
That's true.
So here we are.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of building a village is interesting. I don't know. I don't feel like we have a village quite.
No, we don't even have a cul-de-sac. Like, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is being antisocial, which makes it hard to build a village. I think part of it, honestly, is that we don't have people over to our house.
I've told you that.
Okay. What have you done about it? Nothing.
I've told you exactly what we could do about it.
Okay. What have you done about it? Nothing.
I've told you. But let me know when you want to have somebody over. Done.
I'm saying you can also do it.
I will take care of both. I don't want to have anybody over.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm happy to do it for you. I'm happy to, like, you want to have people over? Great.
No, I'm just saying that, like.
No, you're just trying to blame me for being antisocial.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm saying that it shouldn't all have to be on me. That's all I'm saying.
It's not.
But, like, it kind of is.
Oh, my God. Somebody help me.
Sorry. Oops. So, yeah. So, it's like that, I feel like, is. We don't have, like, a hangout house.
I mean, do people have hangout houses in their 40s? Who?
People have houses that their kids' friends come over to.
That their kids' friends come over to. What does that mean?
People have houses
that their kids'
friends
come over to.
Yes. People have houses where their kids have their friends over.
Oh.
What are you understanding about that?
I was confused. The sentence didn't make any sense.
Okay.
Because I thought you were like referring to like a house that someone else's kids' friends go to.
What? No.
Exactly. That's where I was confused.
Okay. Excuse me.
Anyway, whatever. Point is, in New York, downtown's your living room, you know?
Sure.
Everyone's down at the park. No one goes over. The apartments are so small, you know?
Mm. I don't know. This person has a 1,600 square foot apartment that's like as big as our house.
Mm, that is true. In New York City. Huh. They must be fabulously wealthy. Way to go, guys.
I mean, they say that they're driving their kids around to after school activities.
They have a car, too?
They have a car, and they're driving their kids around after school activities. So it sounds like they either don't work or have, like, a flexible schedule, which I think also, like, makes it easier. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Look, maybe I'm just making excuses.
You are, but it's okay. I'll let you continue to do that. But I will not let you skip tennis.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Rick wanted to clarify, last week he wrote in about his sleep apnea and the mask issues.
Mm, yes, I was confused about the seating.
He wrote in to say, I was told I wasn't properly caring for the masks and machine, cleaning them regularly to avoid damage to the plastic and machine. Many nights leak air and I would just take it off, annoyed with the constant sounds of leaking air. Huh. I've since gotten a backup mask and try to keep the machine clean and masks taken care of.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate that. Clarification.
Me too. All right. We got two very long texts from Irina about ADHD that I'm going to try to summarize. She was inspired to write in by the comment about task switching, like not being able to devote like an hour to podcasting and an hour mm-hmm. to writing and an mm-hmm. hour to therapy. And points out that some of what Matt talked about is also related to time blindness.
The
popular YouTuber and science communicator Jessica McCabe's book, How to ADHD, just came out in January, and I highly recommend it. She also highly recommends getting the audiobook and the physical copy of the book.
Yeah.
She just finished chapter 6 on time blindness. It was so helpful. Previous chapters on focus, executive function, and sleep were great too. And I'm very excited about the next chapter on motivation. Mm. Each chapter split up into an intro with her personal story, then what she learned, and then a section on what we can do about it, and then a final thought that's usually pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And then re-accountability. She wants to say having your spouse be your accountability partner is not going to work, which we know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not just for those of us with ADHD, but because our spouse becomes a sort of part of us. So we kind of internalize them as not much separate from ourselves, which explains a lot of common relationship issues. And also makes it tough to have them be an accountability partner because it's basically like being accountable to ourselves. But there are various groups on Facebook for ADHDers where there are people searching for accountability and body doubling partners. She also says Dory is probably not the accountability solution you need. Body doubling with her will probably help a lot. I know it has for me in my own writing. Or even sometimes doing boring tasks online like sending invoices. If my husband is next to me also on his laptop, I can get shit done. That's honestly helped me a ton, though I personally tend to need the ultimate accountability from a boss figure. So maybe there's someone in your life that can represent that. Mm. Also, try to remember that the four things that motivate ADHD brains, are you ready?
Mm.
Are, drum roll, interest, challenge, mm-hmm. novelty, and urgency.
Mm.
Usually adding those into tasks we're struggling with can help a lot. The only difficulty I find, and I know a lot of us do too, is that our brain works in a now or not now capacity. So urgency has correct. To be like in the immediate future. So like for me with writing, I can't do it unless it's due the next day or even day of. Definitely establishing some hard deadlines with an accountability person will help with that. Just be wary that sometimes it's hard if the accountability partner isn't an actual boss figure. Like if the accountability person is a friend of mine or even an acquaintance, my brain knows that I'm trying to trick it. And it's like, haha, nice try, but nope, not actually urgent. Sometimes having an exchange as part of the accountability relationship, i.e. you read my thing and offer feedback and vice versa, helps, because then you have to do the writing or else you'll be giving them feedback and not have anything to turn in for you to get feedback. Good luck with everything.
Yeah.
Irina is in a 1300 square foot house in the Denver suburbs, living with a neurodivergent, but not like me, husband that makes life both easier and much harder. An almost 4-year-old who probably has ADHD since it's highly heritable. An 11-year-old border collie and 2 cats. We got a new 65-inch TV to replace the one our son broke during a Noche Buena Christmas Eve dinner with friends. Oh, speaking of ADHD, he just randomly threw a toy at it. Not because he was bored or frustrated or angry, just because. Henry. Impulse control issues probably made worse by ADHD. Yay. As if kids this age don't already have plenty of impulse control issues. And no hot dogs so far this year, vegetarian household, so they wouldn't count anyway, though I'm more of a flexitarian, so I may sneak one in whenever we go to the ballpark this year. Nice. And then she says, sorry, this should have been an email.
I mean, the fact that you wrote that all over text is amazing.
Maybe she dictated it. I mean, we don't know. You know, Irina, let us know.
There's a lot of punctuation and quotes and commas and stuff, so I don't know that she did.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
I can't imagine that she's...
Very good point, Matt. Very good point.
Hmm. All right. I hear Henry out there yelling.
I heard that through your microphone, too.
Oh.
Matt, how do you feel about these comments about ADHD?
I just had to sneeze. Did you hear that through the house?
I think you muted it.
No, I did. I turned off the microphone. Oh, yeah. But like, because your office is close enough to mine, I was wondering if you heard me sneezing.
No, I didn't.
Maybe you just got very confused as to why I was being so quiet. How do I feel about... Say that again?
How do you feel about all of these comments about...
Well, I mean, it all... You know, there's things in there. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Especially like with the... now or not now.
Mm-hmm.
It resonates quite a bit with me. My brain always knows when it's trying to fix, when it's trying to put one over on me.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And also, time blindness is a huge problem for me. Even though I like watches and I'm wearing one currently.
Can you describe what time blindness is?
It's not... knowing how long something is taking, or not even really understanding what 15 minutes is.
I see. So when you're, you know so what I mean? Like, so like you'll be like, oh, this will take me an hour, but it actually will take you 2 hours kind of thing. Cause
it's less that, and it's more like, saying something will take me an hour. Maybe it is something that takes 2 hours accidentally, but I will not even know that. And I'll be like, I think that took me 40 minutes to do.
Oh, I see.
just having no real concept of what.
Interesting. Okay.
How long. That's why the time timer was so, such a revelation. It was actually visualizing time in a way that I had never visualized it before.
Yes. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get this book?
I don't plan on it.
Wow.
What? I'm not, you know, right now I'm not buying books. I'm selling things.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I could use an Audible credit, I suppose. Although I'm more of a visual learner. I don't know. It's hard to say.
All right. I'm going to read one more email. Steph writes in to say, on the previous ep, someone mentioned that Matt should have a big splashy sale of all the gobs of hobby items or treasures that he is looking to offload. And he lamented that they are all guitars and golf equipment for the comparatively small audience of left-handed folks. In the next breath, he mentioned something Simpsons related and it dawned on me. He should open a pop-up Leftorium. You could publicize it beforehand, have the same left-handed thumbs up logo branding. He or someone could dress up as Ned Flanders. So the leftover merchandise could be sold on a Leftorium Instagram account. Hellacious copyright infringement or cheeky fair use. Maybe a legal egghead could weigh in. 900 square feet in Brooklyn with one husband, 165-pound Catahoula leopard dog, and one science toddler. 155-inch TV, which the aforementioned husband desperately wants to replace with something way bigger. One hot dog so far, accompanied by the aforementioned kid, who ate his by first removing the plain hot dog from the bun, chomping it down, then proceeding to eat the empty bun as an entirely separate course. In my shock and amazement at this technique, I exclaimed, "What kind of New Yorker even are you?" Which caused some passersby to giggle. P.S. Sheepish apologies for my on-again, off-again Patreon presence. I was caught up in the great wave of tech layoffs last year and haven't found my footing again. On the upside, I'm an underemployed designer slash art director. So Matt, if you want help throwing together some design files for Leftorium branding and promotional materials and merch, we could go deep. Give me a shout. And then she included a picture of Ned Flanders at his Leftorium.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And says, PPS, in case you've never heard of or seen a Catahoula leopard dog, they are extremely cute and sweet and definitely not murderous.
I don't know. The picture tells me otherwise.
It's a very cute dog with his paws on an axe and then five people in the background who all look dead.
Yeah. So tell us what's happening there. Murder dog.
Murder dog. Okay. Well, this brings us to the end of the show. We've covered a lot today.
Yeah.
And now is when we thank our Patreon supporters. Matt, we have some $25 members that we didn't thank last week that we need to thank this week. Are you ready with some fun facts?
Yeah, I have those. I did that today. Okay. After I dozed off and then was like, oh my God, I realized I haven't taken my meds today. So then I went in the house and took them. Mm. So I've taken my meds at, what time was it? 3 o'clock?
Like 3.
So I don't think I'll be going to sleep anytime soon. But let's see. Who was the first of the, was it Lynn today?
It was Lynn, yes.
Okay, Lynn Weisinger. Here's her fun fact. Recently given a large novelty glass that has live, laugh, wine etched on it.
Oh.
It's like, what does that even mean?
Wow.
Doesn't even like, live, laugh, lush. That would be good because of the L, you know, but like live, I like the idea that live, laugh, wine is the laziest thing you could write on the glass.
It's pretty lazy.
Thank you. Amanda Fujita's dream date would be a gourmet dinner prepared by a Michelin-starred chef, followed by an adult ball pit. Right? That'd be fun.
That is funny.
Mama Jo, after decluttering her podcast, she extended this philosophy to her fridge. As a result, threw out a bottle of ketchup that expired in June of 2013.
Oh.
Jennifer H.S. is obsessed with her P-Touch label maker. She recently labeled her remotes and children.
Oh. I mean, I get labeling the remotes. I also, you know, if you have twins, labeling your kids.
Diana resisted the fad of cord cutting. She went the opposite way by getting DirecTV and a Comcast cable box. And ultimately, I bet she's paying less than everybody else. Because of the ridiculous amount of subscriptions there now are. Angie James secretly puts regular unleaded gas in her car, even though the inside of her gas cap door clearly states 93 octane.
Wow.
Yeah. And Carolyn Land uses Super Bowls as her opportunity to shop at a less busy Trader Joe's.
Oh.
Where you go at kickoff, you know?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That's everybody who had a fact.
If you want to have a fun fact, you can support us at the $25 level, and Matt will give you a great fun fact. And we also would like to thank the following patron supporters. Oh, and before we do that, I just want to remind everyone, if you support us at the $10 level or above, you do get those ad-free episodes. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 anonymous listeners, supporters, patrons.
Mm-hmm. April Howarder.
Ariel.
Ashley A.
Ashley Cecil Lee.
Barrett.
Becca Foster.
Becca Kwan.
Brian McGurk.
Bruno Macias.
Caroline C.
Carolyn N.
Casey R.
Chinami Worth.
Cynthia Meisner.
Denise Adair.
Diana Robinson.
Donna Gomez.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Edwina Morgan Bodo.
Elena Paling.
Ellen.
Ellen F.
Ellis Billum.
Aaron Foldisi.
Aaron Riley.
Frederick Roy, Enterprise D, Captain's Yacht Watch Officer.
Nice. That's a sweet gig. Freya.
Greta Truitt.
Heather Haskey.
Hendrick.
Ivar DC's Papa.
Jackie G.
Jennifer Olson.
Jennifer Steele.
Jenny Fick.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Manolovich.
Joanna Rao.
Julia Schulenberg.
Schulenberg.
I know. Why did I say Schul again?
I don't know. Julie Phillips.
Justine Adamick.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Campbell.
Karen Thick-Hershey.
Kat C.
And Kate.
Thank you so much for supporting our show and currently keeping the lights on. We'll see how much longer that can last. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.